Good morning. So how are you doing? I saw someone comment on social media recently, something like, please can we re-download 2020 again because this first edition came with a virus. And yet here we are almost halfway through the year and it's been strange. Some of us, we've been stuck at home a lot. Only recently, even being allowed to go and drive somewhere to take a walk. You know, this week I googled, can you take a holiday in the UK? No, you can't. Not at the moment. And we've not been able to visit friends and family and shop or live life in the normal way. And you know, for some, this lockdown has meant isolation. And for those who normally live quite an isolated life, in many ways, life has become less sort of restricted, less isolated, as we've learned to use the internet more to connect with one another. For some, lockdown has meant living in close quarters with family 24/7 with the inevitable tensions that that will bring. For some, life has continued almost as normal. You've gone about your normal work life in hospitals and care homes and in shops and many other jobs that have been necessary key workers at this time. But even for you, it's been different. There's been plastic screens and plastic face masks and PPE. And you know, I guess for some of us at the beginning of lockdown, there was almost a sense of something quite nice about it. You know, we can do things more slowly. We can hear the birds sing, the roads are quieter. I haven't sat in a traffic jam now for weeks, and I don't miss that at all. We've heard the birds singing more. We've looked around more at nature. We've been able to have maybe a little bit more time. And what amazing weather we had too, in May anyway. More time for hobbies. Let's be honest, for some of us, lockdown has had its advantages. But now, you know, we're 12, we're 13, is it weeks into the process? And lockdown is not so much lockdown as normal life. And a weekly shop has now become a test of remembering the order of the store before you go so that you can write your list in order. You know, in the store where I shop regularly, if you miss something, really difficult to actually go back to the beginning and start again. And I still have not managed to follow the arrows around the store to the point where I can buy frozen peas and ice cream. One or the other, but not both. Needless to say, we've had plenty of ice cream during lockdown. You get your hand sanitizer, you have to go on your own, you try and avoid people. It's difficult. And if you're working, again, you've got all of those extra challenges. And I don't know about you, but I'm tired. And our lives have taken this sudden, dramatic shift, and we have no idea when things will go back to normal, or even if they ever will. So what can we do? What do we do as Christians when we realise that the season that we're in is not a sprint? It's a marathon of indeterminable length, and we're feeling tired and we're drained and maybe a little bit fed up. How do we keep going through such times as these? And as I was contemplating this, I just began to think about what is strength. Do we need to think about strength today? You know, if we want anything to be sustainable for the long haul, if we want to keep running for a long time, if we want anything in life to last, it has to be strong. And strength is the ability to do things that need a lot of physical or mental effort. I'd like to add maybe a lot of spiritual effort. You can tell if we're strong by how long we can keep going at something. You know, to keep going through lockdown, whatever it is that lockdown looks like for you, you need to be strong. And there's a story in the Old Testament about King David, and in 1 Samuel 30, it says this: when David and his men reached Ziklag, they found it destroyed by fire, and their wives and sons and daughters taken captive. So David and his men wept aloud until they had no strength left to weep. David's two wives had been captured, Ahinoam of Jezreel and Abigail, the widow of Nabal of Carmel. David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. Each one was bitter in spirit because of their sons and daughters, but David found strength in the Lord his God. So David returns to this devastating scene. His wives, his sons, his daughters, and the relatives of his companions had all been taken. Not only did David face his own personal grief, but he also has his own life threatened by the other men because they're talking about stoning him because of their loss. What a horrible situation to find yourself in. What did David do? The first thing he did was he wept. He wept and wept until he had no strength left inside him to weep. And you know, this is important. You see, it would be easy to think that strength means that nothing affects you. You know, if you're a strong person, you'll just get on with it. You'll be so thick-skinned, you'll be so hard, you'll be so solid that you just get on with it. It doesn't affect you. And maybe so, but you know, we need to feel and we need to acknowledge the pain and the suffering that we experience. That's okay to be emotional about things. You know, strength does not mean disregarding what is happening around you or the emotional impact that has on you. Weeping is normal and it's okay. Feeling rubbish is okay. Grieving over loss of freedom or loneliness, loss of work or income, you know, any kind of loss is okay. Grieving over the effects of lockdown is okay. But David doesn't stay there. David went and found some strength. Where did he find his strength from? God.
Isaiah chapter 40 from verses 28 to 31. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary. His understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint.
So these words come from the prophet Isaiah, and he shares some of his thoughts about God and strength. So firstly, it's important to understand God never runs out of strength. He never gets tired and he never gets weary, ever. That might sound really obvious, but it's just something to remember and to remind ourselves. God has an unlimited supply of strength. And God is not in lockdown. God is still everywhere. And God is never going to get ill. And Isaiah said that we as human beings can't fathom, we can't work out God's thought process or his understanding. So that means that we have questions. We might have questions like, you know, why has God allowed this to happen? You know, what on earth was he thinking? And Isaiah makes the point, we can't work that out. But one thing that we do know is that he won't go tired. He won't get weary. He won't suddenly give up and go, you know what, this is just such a mess, such a situation, I'm just going to walk away. No, that's not going to happen. God will remain. God will never grow weary. You know, God sent his son, Jesus, into the world to make a relationship with him possible for everyone. He's not going to suddenly turn around and say, you know what, forget it, I'm walking away. And Isaiah goes on to say that God is able to pass on and share some of his strength with us as human beings. That's an amazing thought. So if you're weary today, you know, God wants to share some of his strength with you. You know, even if you're a younger person, you might think, oh, well, you know, younger people, they don't get tired. But, you know, young, old alike, weak, weary, and tired, God wants to give you some of his strength so that you can keep going. You know, the words in Isaiah were written in the context of the children of Israel, and they were in exile in a foreign land. And the prophet is teaching them that even though that they're tired of the exile, they're run down, they're tired of living this really different, restricted life, you know, and they think about a return to normal life is going to involve a really long journey back to their land, you know. But God is reminding them that he has enough strength to sustain them even in that. And here we are currently living in a strange place, a restricted life, knowing that the journey back to normality will be long and hard. God has enough strength to sustain us. So how do we get hold of it? Well, Isaiah says that we have to put our hope in the Lord. And hope is both a noun, a name, and a verb, a doing word. I didn't know you were going to get an English grammar lesson this morning as well, did you? So first of all, we have a hope, hope the noun, in God. Because Jesus died for us, he made a way for us to come back into relationship with God. We live a spiritually alive life. And when we die, when we eventually leave planet Earth, we know that we will go to be with Jesus forever. This is our hope. But hope is always also this verb to hope. I hope, you hope, he hopes, she hopes, etc. And there are things that we hope for. We hope for a return to a more normal life. We hope for good health for ourselves and our families. We hope to be able to meet up with our friends and families and loved ones again. And God wants those things for us too. So we add our faith in a good God to the things that we hope for, and we keep that picture in our minds. And that picture lifts our hearts, it lifts our spirits. We know that even though we don't understand God's thinking, he is good and will ultimately work everything together for our good. Those verses in Romans 8:28 says that God is at work to work everything together in our lives for our good and for his purpose. If we want to renew our strength, we have to actively put our hope the verb, the doing word, in God and his plans and purposes for us. This means that our hope isn't in our own strength. Our hope isn't in our own health, our own finances. Our hope isn't in the way the government is handling the crisis, whatever you think of that. Our hope is in the one who created all things and holds all things in his hands. And you know, there's also an aspect of hoping in the Lord, and some Bibles translate that as waiting on the Lord. Waiting has got to be our favourite activity right now, yes? If you've driven past McDonald's this week, you may have been, you know, you may have had the thought that waiting and queuing is something we really love to do because the amount of people doing it is ridiculous. But actually, we generally don't. We like things instant. When McDonald's first opened, it had this thing about everyone would get their food within sort of 2 minutes or something like that. You know, it was designed for instant and for fast, and we want it now. And that's how we like our lives to be. But, you know, if we want God's strength, then we have to wait on God. We have to spend time with God. You know, at the beginning I said that if we want things to last for a long time, they need to be strong. And building strength into something always takes time. There's no quick way, there are no shortcuts. Think about making a cup of tea. If you want a quick cup of tea, it's going to be weak. If you want a strong cup of tea, you're going to have to wait that little bit longer. So if we want renewed strength from God, we can have it. It's available to us. But we need to put our faith in his goodness. We need to put our hope in the fact that he has enough strength for us. And we need to spend time with him, allowing him to build that strength within us. And you know, having God's strength leads to a few things. The first thing it leads to is a different perspective. You know those verses in Isaiah talked about soaring on wings like eagles. And when we look down on issues from a different perspective, we just get a different idea of what is going on. I'm sure that most of you have been on top of a tall building and looked down, or maybe been in a plane and looked down, and things just look so different from that perspective. Things that on the ground seem so big suddenly are so small. Distances that seemed very, very long, very, very large, become very, very small when we see it from a different perspective. And you know, if we can allow ourselves to try and soar on wings like eagles, to see things from God's perspective, we're going to get a really, really different view of the issues that we face. You know, we can't totally understand his thoughts, but we can gain a little bit of his perspective. Maybe our problems and our issues that seem so big to us, when viewed from God's perspective, are not so big. Maybe time and distance that to us seems so huge, maybe from God's perspective is not so long at all. This does not mean that God thinks that our problems are small and insignificant. He understands from our perspective too. And he cares about us. He says that, you know, he sees a sparrow that falls. He knows how many hairs there are on your head. This isn't about God reducing our problems to something small, but it is about us gaining perspective of his view of our world. The second thing that we gain from his, from getting God's strength, firstly, this different perspective, and secondly, just this sense that we can keep going. Those verses in Isaiah talk about running and not growing weary, walking and not faint. Obviously, taking strength from God is not going to transform you into a marathon runner tomorrow, but it will enable you to keep going, to keep digging deep into God, to keep holding on, to not give up, to hold on to your faith for the long haul, to walk and not faint. You know, back in 1 Samuel, there's another story about David. And David at the time, and Saul at the time was king over Israel. And Saul didn't like David. But Saul had a son called Jonathan. And David and Jonathan were best friends. And in 1 Samuel 23:15, it says this. While David was at Horesh in the desert of Ziph, he learned that Saul had come out to take his life. And Saul's son Jonathan went to David at Horesh and helped him find strength in God. Don't be afraid, he said. My father Saul will not lay a hand on you. You will be king over Israel, and I will be second to you. Even my father Saul knows this. So what's going on here? You know, David still found his strength in God, but he had help from Jonathan to find it. Jonathan went to David and helped him find that strength. How did he do it? He reminded David of the promise. You see, David had been anointed by Samuel years before as king over Israel, but he was living in this situation where he hadn't actually reached that point where that promise was to be fulfilled. So Saul is still king. But obviously, if the promise of God is that David will become king one day, then ultimately David doesn't need to worry that Saul is after his life, because he knows that God's promise says he will inherit that throne, and so God will need to keep him safe. And so Jonathan comes alongside his friend David and he says, look, David, you don't need to worry. I'm going to remind you of what God has said. I'm going to remind you of the promise over your life. I'm going to remind you about the things that will happen and the things that God needs to protect you so that they can be fulfilled. And so Jonathan comes alongside David and he helps David, he enables David to find strength in God. And you know, sometimes we need that. Sometimes we need that person to come alongside us to help us find that strength. Or sometimes we need to be that person for someone else to help them to find strength. The strength still needed to come from God. David couldn't take some of Jonathan's strength, but Jonathan helped him. He reminded him. So how can we respond today? You know, do you feel that you need strength from God today? Maybe you recognise personally that you just haven't spent the time with God. You haven't actively put your hope in the Lord. Perhaps you just need to do that today. Or maybe you need others to gather around you today to help you to find strength. You can speak to one of the pastors by clicking on the chat if you would like that. Or maybe you just want to put in the chat in front of everyone watching today and say, look, I need strength today, and I'm sure other people in the chat will kind of gather around you and pray for you today. So you can do that. Just type in, you know, I need God's strength today. Maybe you are feeling strong at this time. Maybe God wants you to come along and be a reminder for someone else, to stand alongside them, to remind them of God's promise, to remind them of God's purpose for their life. Maybe God wants you to find a David to encourage. Maybe he wants you to be a Jonathan today. Let us pray.
Ephesians chapter 3, from verses 14 to 21. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with his power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.